Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you this morning. A few announcements. We will have communion today. If you did not pick up one of the little containers, please do so. Today, the church council will meet by Zoom at 2 p.m. Wednesday, we'll have confirmation. Thursday is the Bible study, and that will be by Zoom also. And next Sunday is Father's Day. So we'll do something special on Father's Day, we think. Are there other announcements? Then let us begin our worship by turning to the thanksgiving for baptism. This particular is from the 10th setting in our red book. So we will try to sing some of the parts, in fact, most of the parts, because they're easy enough to sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your Spirit, your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The gathering song is Praise to the Lord the Almighty. We'll sing the first two verses. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Despair.
Have mercy on us, with God the Spirit in the Father's splendor bright. For the peace that we inherit, glory be to God on high. Let us pray. God of compassion, you opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that with overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading today is from the 19th chapter of Exodus. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, 'You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation.' These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And let us read the Psalm 100 responsively. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song.
Know that the Lord is God, our maker, to whom we belong. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving, and the courts will praise. Give thanks and bless God's holy name.
Good indeed is the Lord, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from age to age."
The second reading is from the 5th chapter of Romans. "We are no longer God's enemies, but have peace with God because we were brought into a right relationship with God through Christ's death. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. We are turning more to hear you. You are merciful and kind, slow to rich in blessing and with love to us inclined. The Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instruction: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
you, O Christ. You may be seated. My sermon today is actually a question, the title of it. And that question is, what are you worried about? Well, in this day and age, I think everybody has their mind on the pandemic, but there's a whole lot more to be worried about than that. But that question also leads us to two more questions. Not only what are you worried about, but that leads us to ask, what is it you want out of life? And that question leads us to the next question: what are you willing to do for it? These are questions that had to be answered by the early Hebrew people as they were coming in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. The question, what we worried about, well, they were worried, first of all, about Pharaoh, but Pharaoh was put an end to in the Red Sea by God. Then they began to worry about, where are we going to get our water? But God provided water for them. What are we going to eat? God provided manna and quail. What are we going to do when the snakes bite us? God provided a way of bringing healing to them. Well, the question they had to answer after they decided what they were worried about was, what do we want to do? What's our ultimate goal? Their ultimate goal was the promised land. That's where they wanted to be. That's where they wanted to go. And then the question comes, well, what are you willing to do to get there? And they answer that question in the first reading today. When Moses comes down from the mountain and gives them all of their instructions, they say, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Well, the apostles were in much the same boat. Their worry was not only the Romans, who could arrest them for not worshiping the emperor, and either string them up or crucify them or throw them to the lions. That was a real worry. They were also worried about their fellow Jews, who considered them a bunch of heretics and would just as soon stone them as pay much attention to them. They were also worried about an inner group within the early church who were doing some false teaching. They were saying, for instance, you know, grace is free. God gives us grace all the time. And the more we sin, the more grace God provides for us. Therefore, eat, drink, and be merry, and have a great time. The more you sin, the more God's grace is going to be showered on you. And of course, Paul had to say, no, that's not the way it works. That's cheap grace. That's not the grace for which Jesus Christ died. No, instead, we need to take the narrower path. And it may involve some suffering, But we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. One of my oldest seminary professors was Dr. Flack. He was 94 years old. And, you know, most people would say, well, a 94-year-old guy, what's he going to teach you? But he was our best professor. To be honest with you, he had as much life as all of them. To give you an idea, he was afraid that he was becoming senile. Now, we could never have proved it by any of the things he taught us. He would get up extra early every morning. Every morning he would memorize a chapter of the Bible in Hebrew. Then he would memorize a chapter of the Bible in Greek. And then he would memorize a chapter of the Bible in Latin. And then he'd take a little walk, which was probably about 2 or 3 miles every morning. Now in Minneapolis, believe me, in the middle of winter, that's not a time you want to take a walk, but he would do it. Take his cane and walk very carefully. And that was when he would recite the entire catechism, just to keep his mind fresh. And Dr. Flack had a favorite saying, especially if some of the guys had been out too late the night before, he would say, you can't soar with the eagles if you're out with the owls at night. And it was his way of saying, if you really want to be God's person, you have to put yourself into it. You can be worried about all these things, but if you haven't set your mind on what you really want to accomplish, nothing's going to happen. For the early disciples, they knew that they wanted to follow Jesus all the way to the throne of God. And there was only one way to do it. It was not the loose and easy. It was the narrow and hard path that it sometimes takes. There is a song that Julie Andrews sang in The Sound of Music. Now, she changed the words to it dealing with aging. And her favorite things were like Botox and nose drops. Well, I thought, well, if she can change it to that, I could change it a little bit for the purpose of a sermon. So here is the way it works. There are some people who have said over the years, many times over, that it's too bad Christians today are not as committed to their God as football fans are to their football teams. Now, this is no kidding. I had a member, came to my church in Springfield, Missouri, and when I went to visit them, they said, they were from Nebraska originally, so we had a lot in common. And they were Cornhusker fans. They said, now, you have to remember, Pastor, we are true Cornhusker fans. We go to every game, no matter where it is. They had this huge RV, and they would either take that, or if they couldn't take the RV, they would get plane tickets and fly wherever it was, every weekend. So they said, don't expect to see us in church in football season. I know of others who will go, and they'll go to games and sit on hard benches and in snow and rain and almost a blizzard conditions because they're so dedicated to that team. Meanwhile, there are those who complain if the pew cushions are not soft enough or if the temperature in the sanctuary isn't perfect. You get the point. Sometimes we've gotten so sloppy about how dedicated we are to worshiping our Lord God. Well, this song may deal with that too, especially in this area.
Golfing and fishing and barbecue grilling, Boating and cycling and picnics are thrilling. Swimming and tubing, the rivers and streams. These are a few of my favorite things. Sweet time and fun times and family excursions. Making the most of our tree swing and cushions. Papers to read and heroes to cheer. I don't need God, I think I just need my rest. But when the surgeon calls, when my money's gone, when my time has come, I simply remember my Sunday mistakes, and then I know I needed God.
Well, the disciples were not hooked on fishing, football, or any of that. They knew that their job was to go out and proclaim the word. Jesus taught them how to do it by actually showing them how to heal, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. And then he sent them out to do the same. And they knew that their purpose in life was to do that, even if it involved suffering, because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. A young man by the name of Kazan lived in India. In fact, he was, as a boy, he became friends with the son of a missionary there. Kazan, his family was Hindu, and therefore he couldn't go to the Christian school. But he would sneak off on Sunday mornings and go to church with his friend. And he became so involved in studying what it meant and what Jesus had done for people that he wanted to become a Christian. When he told his family, they were furious. They'd been Hindus all their lives. That's all they ever needed to be. They kicked him out of the house. In fact, they disowned him from the family. But Kazan continued to study and became a tremendous evangelist. So much so that he even converted his own family. He had asked the question what he was worried about. He was worried about salvation. In Hindu belief, there is kind of a nebulous understanding of what nirvana and all of that's about. But in Christianity, he learned there is more to it than that. What he wanted was what the disciples were sharing, what his friends were sharing, what Jesus was offering. He wanted to enter the kingdom of God, to be at the throne of God. And what was he willing to do for it? He was willing to give everything, no matter how uncomfortable it was. That's what God calls us to do. God calls us to be his body in the world. It may not be comfortable. We may have to go through some things we really don't appreciate. But in the end, what are you worried about? What do you really want? And what are you willing to put into it? Those are our questions. So may God give us the courage and the strength to lead us to where we really want to be. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's join in singing the sermon hymn, which is Rise Up, O Saints of God. Profess our faith using the creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. If there are those you'd like to include in your prayers, I'll pause at the appropriate place for you to add them. Holy One, the whole earth is yours. Where there is fire, bring cool air and new growth. Where there is flooding, bring abatement. Where there is drought, bring rain. Inspire us to care for what you have provided. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy One, we have created divisions you will not own. In places of conflict, raise up leaders who work to develop lasting peace and reconciliation. Encourage organizations and individuals who care for all forced to leave their homes. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy One, you care for those who are harassed and helpless. Protect and defend those who are abused. Heal those who are sick. We pray especially for Michelle Lofgren and others we name in our hearts before you now. Feed all who hunger. Empower all whose voices go unheard, and help us respond to the pressing needs of our neighbors. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy One, you provide a plentiful harvest of gifts and resources. Prepare us to labor and gather the fruits of this congregation, that we might discover new ways of living. Minister to us in our work, that we may not lose heart. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy One, we give you thanks for this congregation. Give us passion to embrace your mission and the vision to recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with each other. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts of your Holy Spirit. O God, grant a double measure of your Spirit to our joint call committee, to Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagel. Bless also those of our church council with your wisdom. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy One, you bring all people to yourself. We give thanks for the holy people who have gone before us. Sustain us in your mission until the day you bear us up to join the saints in light. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We thank you for sending your offerings to the church and for giving them online. They are a way that the church continues to work and thrive through this period of time. Let us offer a prayer of thanks for the offering. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. Ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Participate in the communion. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ given for you. They're not exactly the easiest to peel, are they? And when you get there, the blood of Christ shed for you. We'll sing the Lamb of God. Cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Yes. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I love to tell the story.
Of unseen things.
peace and share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
We will.